Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Congratulations! We've made it to Friday. We have a huge show for you today on Daily Pop. It's Beverly Hills 90210's 30th anniversary, and we've uncovered some serious drama. Jessica Alba just revealed her experience on the set wasn't exactly pleasant, and it seems like she was struggling to talk about this. It's because whenever she was talking about it, she was on the nine wings deep on the show Hot Ones. Listen to this.
On the set of 90210, I couldn't even make eye contact with any of the cast members, which was really strange when you're like trying to do a scene with them. Yeah, I was like, you're not allowed to make eye contact with any one of the cast members or you'll be thrown off, thrown off the set.
Gosh, wait, it's crazy.
I thought she was like getting choked up and crying about it. I'm like, wait, hold on. You're really 30 years after making countless movies and $300 billion on Honest Company? Yeah, you're still crying about this?
On this particular show, they like eat hot wings. Like, I think it's hotter and hotter as you go.
Yes.
So it makes it like more challenging to talk. I'm not even wings deep and I'm challenging to talk. Jessica was on 90210 for a couple episodes back in 1998. So what do you think happened here? Do you think that was the actual truth, or do you think it was a misunderstanding? Do you think it was a producer speaking for them?
I think a lot of times, and I say this because I'm in the business now and I know how all of this kind of sort of works behind the scenes. When you tell your agent or manager something, sometimes they like to flex and turn it up a little bit. So you may say, you know, I had an issue on set today and I just couldn't get any work done. Everybody was talking to us. And then all of a sudden your agent's like, let me handle it, sis.
Yeah.
And then you get to set the next day and the knee-jerk reaction is no one talked to him on set because he is tired and can't talk to everybody.
It's like the game of telephone. It starts off as like one person says, you know, exactly, like I was really uncomfortable in my chair today. And the next, you know, by the time it gets down to the PA on the show, it's like Carissa hates everything about the set. She complains about everything up into the chair or whatever it is.
She actually does. she complains about everything.
I complain about the rug. This is the thing though, also. Watching, I hate that rug, on the record. If you actually watch the clips, they never, ever make eye contact, ever. Every time you think they're making eye contact, one of the actresses fades away or cuts away from them. So that's what I was watching. They never, you never see the two of them look at each, see, look, cut away. They do not look at each other. I don't think Jessica Alba, as Justin put it, $300 billion later, is making this up. I think someone said don't look at the actresses, and apparently they have had several people say that they were not very nice. I'm not saying that that's true, but...
Right, Tiffany Thiessen said that they were not very nice to her as well. And I mean, it's funny. We've had everybody from 90210 on this show, I think, at some point, and they're all very sweet now, but they all go back and they do say, you know, we were the hottest things ever back then. You got to remember,
absolutely.
Like, they were young and they were immediately famous, and there may have been some bigger egos at the time that they've outgrown.
Absolutely. It was pandemonium then.
I'm going to be all the way honest. When I first started here, I, you know, walked into a makeup room trying to make small talk with somebody who was working here at the time. And the next day, I got a stern talking to about not going into that person's dressing room while, not dressing room, makeup room, while they're getting their hair and makeup on. And it was so crazy because the person was talking back at me and having this conversation.
I vaguely remember this. I want to call out who it is. Oh, I don't know.
The next day, I got the...
Out, it was a community makeup room. It's not like he was in like his private dressing room. Like back in, things are different now because of COVID, but we all shared one makeup room.
Yeah,
yeah, I was so going to say, making it sound glamorous.
It's not weird to like walk in there.
It was crazy.
You know, like, talent walks in and out of there all the time.
But this is the, also the
That's
other
crazy.
Issue is
I
that...
Know. I don't know this story.
I know, but I can't remember.
But then this is the issue. This is the issue. If you let people think that they can make those kinds of rules up and kind of placate these people, they continue the behavior from job to job to job. Mm-hmm. So what somebody should say is, hey, get over it. He walked into your makeup room to say hi and be nice to you. Shut up. I'm not going to go and, you know, tell this kid who just started here in a way that he would feel afraid or uncomfortable around you, but that's what some people want.
They especially want if it was reversed.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, right. You're right. Well, I do have a chat with Ian Ziering later in the show, and spoiler alert, I looked him in the eye. He did not yell at me, so I think he's over it now if that was ever an issue. Okay, Victoria Beckham admits she did not really like being called Posh Spice. She posted on Instagram, I can't say if I would have been my first choice, but I ultimately grew into it on my own terms. After the Spice Girls broke up, Victoria says she intentionally distanced herself from the name. Do you think she would have became such a style icon if she had been called Baby Spice or Sporty Spice or one of the other ones?
Well, I'm just confused about when she says she's distanced herself from the name. I mean, maybe she wasn't necessarily called Posh Spice as much or went by that, but like the entire aura around what Posh Spice was and is exactly what Victoria Beckham is. I mean, she is posh, she is chic, she is sophisticated, she's a style icon, she has her own brand. Like, when I think of Victoria, I think she's posh.
And not because... just started smiling, I feel like, in the last decade.
And by the way, I don't care that she didn't smile. I loved it. It worked for her. Do you guys remember they did that, like, four-episode reality TV show, the two of them? That was, like, the best thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, I don't think she should shun that. I think she should own it because, look, things have worked out for her, clearly.
100%. But we often forget that sometimes she was put in a group, and they gave her that name, and then they dressed her accordingly. I think she became the persona and forgot who she was. I honestly, truly believe. And then when you start dating somebody who's also into the persona and kind of like leans into it,
right.
You get further into that rabbit hole and you start to believe it. It's like all these girls, like Christina Aguilera, like she thought she was the bad girl out of the two of them. She started to lean into it and then lost herself and we got dirty. And then all of a sudden she's like, I feel unpretty and I want to be soft again. Mm-hmm. You have to really keep your eye on yourself whenever you're in this business.
Right, and I think that's true. She was so young when she started Spice Girls, and if somebody does give you a label, you can't help but feel like, well, that's my label, that's my brand. If I don't live up to that brand, then this may not happen. So, I mean, there was a lot of pressure for her to be posh, whether she would have been or not. So it's kind of interesting to know what Victoria Beckham would have been if she would have been Sporty Spice.
She would have been sporty. She would have turned into
like an athleisure line.
100%.
You think? What? But still
I
not
don't
into
know.
Fashion, but like.
Let me tell you what. Okay. She has always been, you're a fashionable person by nature, but you lean into that. You also are the quick-witted, self-deprecating, sassy one, and people expect that of you, and now you're going with that, and you're going to keep going with that.
But that also is what I brought to television on my own, and that's what people had picked up from it. I wasn't manufactured when I was on Rich Kids, right? Or the first time I was ever introduced to any sort of audience. She, before we came on the scene, everyone had a name. Everyone, as you said, had a persona. I just thought it was a little bit more of a realistic match, and clearly based on what she's saying, she doesn't feel like that was the appropriate title. Which I just don't. I'm sorry, Victoria, I'm obsessed with you. I love you. I love your clothes. I don't buy that. I feel like it, I mean, yeah, maybe your upbringing, you weren't in a strapless Prada dress at 14, but like, I still feel like you were the chic one, and that's why they went with that with you. Well, that that haircut was on trend years before we started doing that, Bob.
So maybe like, they saw it in her, but she didn't see it in herself.
Maybe
yet.
So.
Yeah, but we all have that, right?
All right, moving on to Lenny Kravitz and Jason Momoa's bromance. I mean, this thing is for real. Lenny, who was married to Jason's wife, Lisa Bonet, tells the new Men's Health he and Jason are very tight. And while healing from a breakup does take time, the moment he met Jason, they were both like, oh, yeah, I love this dude. Mm-hmm. So how do they make it work? Well, Lenny says, you quote, let love rule.
Oh, there we go, Lenny.
That is a very Lenny thing to say.
Oh, yeah.
I just wish I had a little bit more Lenny in me.
And right. I feel like Lenny's just
love rule.
Doing some psychedelics in Malibu and like getting in touch with the earth and the people.
If you have a problem with it, light something up.
I also think Lenny figured out something very early on in this relationship. Mm-hmm. And anyone can do this. And if you're dating, if your partner, ex-partner's dating someone else and you have kids involved, you get that person, that new person to respect you, they're gonna respect your kids.
Yeah.
If that person hates you, they're gonna take it out on their kids. So you know what? Let love rule. Go in there, build that bond with that person, because if you do, they gonna think twice about telling little Billy something nasty about you
right.
or touching your kid in the worst way possible as far as spankings go. So I just think that's what he did.
Yeah. But I also feel like at the time that Jason Momoa and Lisa Bonet even got together, their relationship, Lenny and Lisa's, was so over at that point also. So they're really wasn't that much messiness. I feel like it's easy to let love rule when you're over your ex.
Was it?
I think it was pretty done. They had been done for a long time. I mean, think of the last time you thought of Lenny with a partner. Like, really?
That's the thing. I think he likes to be elusive about that kind of stuff, but I think once somebody is your first love and you have that first child with them, you keep on going back and forth and back and forth. That's like the rock star way of life. Look at Angelica Houston. She ran after what's his name? Jack Nicholson forever.
Oh,
and she
don't
waited.
Speak to me on this Friday morning. Those two, I can't. Well, she waited and then he got someone else pregnant.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Minute,
I'm very invested.
But the minute she would go after somebody else and get a new man, he would come back in and be like, oh, my God, right. I love you. I'm pretty sure Lenny Kravitz was kind of sort of doing the same thing, just keeping Lisa Bonet on a string and going in and out and in and out. That's what they do. Men are crazy.
I have to say, I think the magic sauce is the woman for the guys to be friends. I mean, it depends how the breakup happens. It depends how the new man's introduced to the old man. It depends on where your relationship is with the old man. I mean, I think it has a lot to do with what is happening with that woman that's able to keep that kind of peace. I mean, it doesn't always happen, but I mean, if you can try to keep the peace, you're more likely to get a bromance like this if that's what you're shooting for.
If Lisa Bonet can talk these two into becoming a throuple with her.
Oh my gosh.
You are the GOAT. I will put you in the presidency in 2 seconds.
All righty, still to come.
It's a cute
throuple. I'm Zeering on the 30th anniversary of 90210, his bond with Shannon Doherty, and who the best kisser was on the show. Plus, Terry Bradshaw says Match plays matchmaker for his daughter. Would you let your parents ever set you up with someone? We're going to discuss that after the break.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Set up by a family member. How did that go? Well, Terry Bradshaw is playing matchmaker for his newly single daughter, Rachel. Would you ever let your mom or your dad set you up on a date?
I feel like Susan's got good taste.
I feel like I would, I would definitely, I feel like they only tried to maybe, not even set me up, but suggested one person one time as like a potential, like, oh, this guy could be nice. And I was like, it just wasn't, it wasn't all the way there, but I would, it just never had to happen.
Yeah, my mother
I would probably trust her opinion. My father, no way in hell. He would put me with the biggest country bumpkin in the world, which I have nothing opposed to that. I'm from Missouri, but I live in LA now, and he would basically pick anyone who would try to convince me to move home and just not be on TV.
Right.
And I'm like, no, that's not going to work.
And have like 8 more kids.
Yeah.
By the way, when your parents start to like try to set you up, that's like a key that you need to move out of the city. It's like you're getting stale here. People are starting to talk about it. Your parents are starting to get worried. You need a new life, and you actually need just like a new energy. So go get that new D.
Well, it actually seems like Terry's efforts may have paid off. Take a look at what's going down on E's The Bradshaw Bunch.
Dan Marine just texted me again.
Oh, text him back.
Yeah. Did you text
him? Wait, you still haven't responded?
Did he double texted you?
Yeah, okay.
What
do you say? I'm actually going to be in D.C. tonight.
Would you like to grab
a drink? What do I say? I don't know how to do this. I've been dating forever. Do it for me.
I love that Lacey's doing it. Yeah, we just need to take the reins on this one.
I know. We'll take care of this for
you. Yeah, you guys do. You're too fragile right now.
Okay, Rachel goes on to say she doesn't know how to flirt. So here's my next question. Would you let a family member text a guy for you?
Also doesn't need to happen. I can handle that part. Right?
Know.
Can't we all?
Yeah.
Susan's captions are great.
She's also, no, that woman's Instagram needs to be taken. She's a little out of her effing mind.
There are times when I think you could use a little help in the texting direction, because what was it? You texted me the other day and I literally wrote you back. I'm like, I'm not following this one. Like,
it might
I don't
not
know
be
what you're trying to talk
oh, no, no,
about.
No. It might not be in English, but at least I will write it. Like, you know what I mean? At least you always know it's me.
No.
But I love how I tell her, I'm like, I'm truly like not following what you're actually trying to talk to me about right now. And her response is just like, LOL. And she's over it.
I'm trying to talk as thoughts come into my head, and it's difficult.
Don't do it, sister. Do not do it. I don't respond back until I get hello. That means that she's like wrote it, and then she's rethunk it, and then she's like put it into words. Don't let your family get involved in your business. Because once you let them in, they're like vampires. They'll never leave. It's just a lot. And furthermore, keep your relationship to yourself until you're ready to introduce your man to your people. And when you and your man are having a problem, don't tell your mother. She'll never forget it.
It's true. That's such good advice. So true.
Okay.
No matter what.
Let's see how it all plays out. The Bradshaw Bunch airs Thursdays at 9 p.m. here on E! Okay, now, Demi Lovato. This story, you guys, it's just not going away. Demi Lovato's ex-fiancé, Max Eric, is now accusing her of making their split a PR stunt. Max went on Instagram Live saying he was in love, claims he was the one that was used, and that no one should be made to feel this way. He also said he hopes Demi's new song, Still Have Me, goes to number one. I don't think it was like a genuine, I really wish this good on you. I think it was a little snarky, but nonetheless, was this whole thing, this whole relationship, breakup, everything, a PR stunt?
Look.
I can't stand this guy. Ugh, cannot.
I don't know, y'all. I don't know, y'all. That song was just conveniently waiting in the refrigerator or something. Like, I don't know if I can make a breakup ballad in 2 seconds. It just seems like, and I know a lot of celebrities do this, they turn their life into art. So maybe that's it, but it just seems like it's convenient.
But there
and
are
the
times
timing.
When some artists have, you know, written a song in a day, you know, it's happened.
I appreciate you so much. But also, did you guys not just see in the live how he like walked away and had to take a second and put his hands over his face? Like, that to me was some bad acting.
So like, what do you think? Even real love?
I think everyone had their own intentions for this relationship. I think they tried to make it work for a little bit. They had an okay time. And then she was like, this is a joke. This isn't going to cut it for me. And she sent him on his way. And he's now like milking the rest of his like 12 minutes.
Yeah, but she's kind of sort of doing the same thing. And I think we're at a crossroads where sometimes normal people would just say, by the way, it didn't work out. I was a fool to jump into this thing after 4 months. I made a mistake. I'm going to go my way. You go your way, and I'm going to take my part in it. When you have two celebrities, no one wants to be wrong.
Yeah.
None of the publicists want to admit, hey, by the way, I don't want
to
say
crazy. We have to use
she
the term.
Up.
We have to use the term celebrity loosely on his end. Demi here is this. Am I wrong? Hello? I'm sorry, he said two celebrities like it was Jen Aniston and Brad Pitt breaking up again. It's Demi Lovato and her boyfriend that we didn't know who he was until they got engaged and she got herself a ring. Like,
by the way, Morgan,
what?
Stop right now. He's in the wine aura, and I watch the wine aura every single day.
I do love the Young and Restless. That's a good show.
I love the Young and Restless, too.
All right, we got to go to break, but I'm loving the brutal truths today. This is going well. Okay, coming up, Kelly Ripa is opening up about being seen at her absolute worst. That story is next.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
You know, I stumbled into this business really easily. I landed a part really easily, and I love it, and it's fun. But it is a lot of hard work, and it is long hours, and it is a lot of memorization. And this is like one of the only jobs where you are emotionally attached to your work.
Because any rule's fine, as long as you're there.
I love you.
I've seen her with, like,
and my absolute worst,
rollers on and sweats, and she's still the most beautiful person I've ever seen in my life.
He is such a liar. I am so frightening in the morning. Even he fears me at times. No, you know, we're so comfortable together that we actually use our tongues when we kiss. That's comfort.
Oh my God.
The cutest thing ever. Well, Kelly, surprisingly, turns 50 today, and she and Mark are more in love than ever. He posted this pic on Instagram writing, "Happy birthday to my little ray of sunshine. I love you." Oh, she looks gorgeous.
She looks. They're beautiful.
I'm so obsessed with her. I love her. Okay, happy birthday, Kelly. All right, British TV host Graham Norton is apologizing for saying he doesn't need to see a man dancing with a man on Britain's version of Dancing with the Stars. Mm. Strictly Come Dancing will have its first same-sex pairing next month. And Graham, who's openly gay, had told Best Magazine, "If you have two men who have bodies that can do lifts, is that fair in judging?" Graham has since tweeted an apology saying he supports the pairings and that the comments were made a long time ago to a journalist looking for one of his off-the-cuff comments. But some people are actually still saying, you know, he kind of has a point when it comes to judging. What do you think?
Ooh. This is the problem.
What's the problem?
This is the problem.
Talk to me.
It's like...
Are we at brunch?
I feel like we're at brunch. I had this conversation with a friend of mine the other day. It's like, even though you don't want to see it, as a gay man, take it for what it is. It's a door opening for normalization. Uh-huh. It's a moment that we should be proud of. It's like when gay men are older and they don't want kids, and then they say, well, I don't understand what the fight is about. I don't want kids. Well, it's not just your fight. Right. It's not just your life. There are other people out there that need to see this, that haven't experienced seeing two men kiss on TV or two men dance together on TV. Mm-hmm. What about that 14-year-old in Sussex who has never experienced that before in his life and doesn't know what that looked like?
Yeah.
So for him, he should be apologizing, but I do understand what he's trying to say, but keep it to yourself. Maybe talk amongst, like, there are things about the gay community that I truly don't agree with, but I will never speak out about them.
You know, the one thing that, I mean, I understand when in my head, I thought, well, I guess he kind of has a point. I mean, a man can lift a woman easier sometimes than a man could maybe lift another man, or vice versa, a woman lift another woman. But at the same time, the judging is based on the celebrity, right? And how they're improving on their dancing. Yes, they take into consideration the choreography that the professionals put together, but it's really all about, is this celebrity improving faster than the other celebrities? And you don't necessarily have to be partnered with a different sex to show that.
Yeah, I also think there's whether it's two men, one can be a leader and one cannot. It's super easy. One will do the lifts and one won't. It's super easy. You're not going to be lifting each other the whole dance.
Okay, up next, they're still going strong, but Shawn Mendes is now revealing what is hurting his relationship with Camila Cabello. Then Ian Ziering is talking to us about who is the best kisser on 90210, who was the life of the party, and much more. Don't go anywhere. Then dreaming that you feel it too. That's the new single from Shawn Mendes called Wonder. I really like it.
I literally see him in his Range Rover all the time. Oh. And he is the hottest man from neck down. Like, he's so cute because you can't see anything else in a Range Rover. He's just so adorable.
He's so cute. Well, Shawn's making the promotional rounds for his new album. And he's also finally talking about, you guys remember this, the famous zombie walk with Camila Cabello. Mm-hmm. We watched it. It was like they're walking so slow. In an interview on SiriusXM, Shawn says it was a peaceful moment between them while they were feeling overwhelmed by the state of the world. But looking back, they also think it's hilarious and agree they look quite like zombies.
Oh,
oh my God. Yeah. This video makes me laugh. I just want to
stop. I'm not saying yeah. a damn thing.
I'm not saying damn thing either. Don't I can't eat. It's just too, this
Get
morning I don't have it in me to do it.
Me. Get the camera off me.
Yeah.
No.
What's wrong?
No.
It's
no.
just,
looking
you
for
know.
A shady reaction. I'm not giving it to them. It's Friday.
Now you're holding back. The whole show you've been shady.
Have I?
No, he's actually, you've been better today.
Don't
well,
do it.
Shawn did another interview with radio.com where he got honest about men and their emotions. He admits that holding back was hurting his relationship with Camila.
Oh. I thought that I was like a pretty open, emotional guy until I started being in a relationship with someone that I really, truly love and realizing that, oh no, I really have this big ego and I don't want to show her that I'm hurting and I don't want to show her that that offended me. And like, I want to be the man and I want to be strong in this relationship. And it actually was hurting our relationship.
Oh, wow. Mm. Why do you guys think a lot of men still struggle to show their emotions in relationships?
I don't think it's men. I have a very hard time showing emotion. Difficult.
Because you're a man.
Well, basically. But yeah, I have a very, I think it just depends on the person and your upbringing and just, I don't know. I think it's, everyone has a different approach to that. Emotions are not easy for everybody. You guys can cry easily. I'm like Cameron Diaz in that movie. I can't cry at all. It takes me years. Well, no, not to get dark and deep, guys. I was just explaining it's not just for the male gender. Hello?
But even while you're pregnant, can you cry easier or no?
No, I just sneeze a lot more. And pee.
Oh, my gosh. Has this ever been a problem in relationships? Like, has...
I'm too emotional in a relationship. I'm like overly emotional. I grew up with girls. Mm-hmm. And girls just said what's on their minds, right. If they mm-hmm. were hurting. I think a lot of men in society have been told from when they were kids that boys don't cry, that mm-hmm. boys don't show emotion, that you have to be strong. And I think for some men, being strong means being, you know, elusive about feelings.
Right. Yes.
But I think if you know that you have that problem in a relationship, just being upfront with your partner and saying, hey, I have a hard time showing my emotions. Mm-hmm. Give me a minute. Let me work with you. Because when you're the partner who doesn't get anything from your man, you have 65 conspiracy theories about why he does not want to open up to you. Was it because you made that thing or he's not really into it?
100%.
So you have to be, even if you have a hard time being open, you have to be open about that.
Right. And there's like sometimes where I've noticed like with men in relationships that I will know something has hurt their feelings. Like, maybe it's not for me. Maybe it's like somebody else has done something. And I'm like, I know that hurt you. And they'll be like, no, it's fine. I don't care.
100%.
It's a deal. And I'm like, okay, you can either talk about it or you can go drink a bottle of whiskey tonight. Which one do you want to do? Like,
right.
Let's just talk about it. And then you'll realize, like, maybe I just want to talk about my emotions. But, and I'm even like family members that are the exact same way. They will never admit that something bothered them whenever we all know it did.
Well, whiskey's good, too. I don't mind that.
Let me give you a little trick. Let me get you.
What do you say? Just like, here's the whiskey. I'll get you a bottle. Sometimes that is the best solution.
Let me give you a little trick to making your man express himself a little bit more.
Okay. Hmm.
So you know you have that bag of tricks that like you take out for birthdays, anniversaries, or like on vacation in Cabo because like you do like some crazy shit.
Because you're tan and feel pretty.
You know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
You have those three things. If your man emotes an emotion and gets deep with you about something, you have to then go into that bag of tricks, pull out number 17, throw it on him that night. That way he realizes, oh, this is, we're more intimate, we're more risque whenever I'm more emotional. Right. That way he becomes a little bit, you know, more trained.
It's like a dog.
It is.
A good treat for being open, and then he'll be open more.
100%. When he goes to Home Depot, when he goes to Home Depot and puts together your deck, you are throwing it on him. So why not when he opens up about what's going on in his life? I'm telling you.
Okay. All right. I'll keep that in mind.
But don't give him number 24, because number 24 is only for milestones.
Okay. Speaking of anniversaries, this weekend marks 90210's 30th anniversary. I got Ian Ziering to spill secrets about the cast. He also filled me in on his new show, Swamp Things, and how life has been in lockdown. Watch.
Ryan, how are you? How's your life?
I'm doing great, thank you. Just really focused on my kids and keeping them educated, which is a challenge.
Talk to me about that. How's at-home learning going?
It's brutal. Can't expect a six-year-old to know how, a seven-year-old to know how to scroll through tabs and find documents and upload, and like, she knows TikTok. She knows, like, YouTube, but, you know, kids are resilient.
Y'all are very excited because this weekend, it's just crazy. It's the 30th anniversary of 90210. Yeah. I mean, have you wrapped your head around that yet?
You know what? It continues to be very rewarding to have been a part of a project that has touched so many people in such a positive way. It's gotten into the collective zeitgeist of people, not just here in this country, but all over the world. And wherever I go, people recognize me. It feels good. Steve Sanders has been very good to me.
Of course, Shannon has, you know, been open about her diagnosis and her stage 4 cancer. Have you checked in with her? Do you know how she's doing?
We've texted this week, and, you know, Shannon is so resilient. She's, you know what, if I was ever going to war, I would want her on my side, because that woman is a fighter and she gets it done. You know, she's handling and managing to the best of her ability. Knowing Shannon, she's got her finger on the heartbeat of whatever the cutting edge science is, and I'm really not too worried about it, because she's doing great.
Oh my God.
Swamp Thing is coming very soon to CW. Tell me about it.
It is by far the highest quality production level that I've ever seen in my entire life. This is big budget. They've spent over $100 million on this TV show.
Oh my God.
And you could see the money on the screen. There was one soundstage, it was a 35,000 square foot soundstage that they flooded. They built a swamp indoors. There's so much crap on TV right now. Give me something that I could learn from. Give me something that I can grow from. Give me something that moves me. Make me feel alive, okay? And that's what Swamp Thing does, in a way that literally reaches out of the camera and smacks me in the face. Holy what just happened there? It's amazing.
Before we go, we're gonna look at West Beverly High's yearbook. Tell us who would have been named best kisser.
Steve Sanders.
Best hair.
Steve Sanders.
Most likely to be late.
No, Brandon.
Okay. Life the party.
Steve Sanders.
Last cloud.
Steve Sanders. I'm gonna have to go with Steve Sanders across the board. I might have to give up best hair to Dylan. Luke used to just amaze us by raising his bangs 4 feet in the air. He used to like blow it up. He puts a product there and he'd like sit there and blow it up. You know, he had his hair going up high, his sideburns coming down. I'm like, dude, that is one hell of a look. He's like, chicks dig it.
Thank you so much for joining us. We love talking to you.
Thank you, Carissa. Thank you so much for this. I appreciate it, too. You take care of yourself. Stay well. Stay safe. And watch Swamp Thing. It's going to be amazeballs.
Oh my gosh. And by the way, just so you guys know, I did talk to Ian a few days before Jessica Alba said that she couldn't look at the 90210 cast in the eye. Otherwise, I totally would have asked him about it. But he's so fun.
Okay, Steve, Brandon, or Dylan, who would you have gone with?
Dylan.
Brandon.
Ooh.
Oh, Dylan had the Porsche, right? Dylan.
I would have went with Steve's dad. He was hot.
Oh, nice.
guys.
He was absentee, but he was hot.
Securing it.
We have a little game coming up, and I want you to play along with us. Can you guess the star behind this smile? It's World Smile Day. Think about it. We're going to play a game when we come back.
Anne Hathaway.
What?
No.
No. Today is World Smile Day, so we're going to celebrate by playing a game called Guess the Famous Smile. All right, first up, can you name this Oscar winner with this smile? Let's see.
Anne Hathaway, come on, that's Anne.
It's Margot Robbie.
Oh, I think Margot Robbie, too. I'm going with Margot. Dang it.
You know what? Preston's that is famous. Cheating.
We should have known. It's one of our producer's favorite actresses. Okay. This grin belongs to which A-lister?
George Clooney.
That's Mark Ruffalo. No, I think it's George.
It's George.
I just wanted to have a different guess. Okay, bring on your guesses for this smile. Oh, that's Gabrielle Union.
Yep.
God, you cannot mistake that smile.
Uh-huh. Okay, next one. Pearly White's here.
I know, but don't know.
I'm seeing it, but.
Is she A-lister? Is she in reality?
The hint, she's got H2O tattooed on her hand to remind herself to drink water.
Ooh, who's that?
Oh,
thirsty.
Great. Thank you
Catherine
for that help.
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
No. It's like.
Neither of those.
It's
Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh. We've never zoomed in on those because I always feel like they're just
great.
You said on those.
Yeah.
Like you just got them in the mail.
This smile has been on the screen for over a decade.
Oh my God, his wife was just talking.
Hugh Jackman.
No.
Is it you?
No.
No?
Oh, Bradley!
Gosh. Okay, next one. This is fun.
Priyanka Chopra.
That's it. Priyanka
Chopra.
Yeah, that was easy. Okay, next.
Michael B. Jordan, bitch. Bring those gloves over here. Yes, daddy.
Oh, gosh. Okay, this one's a musician. Oh, Alicia Keys.
Wow. Oh, Carissa's getting to play, so she is in it now.
She comes,
in the pit.
Here she comes.
She's not letting anyone. It is her game now. Carissa, we will moderate.
Okay. That's Sterling K. Brown.
It's Idris Elba.
Idris Elba.
You're right. Because Sterling K. Brown is a bigger
Wait. Hold on. First of all, we all don't look alike, okay? Contrary
to
belief, except
her.
Me and I. Except me and I.
As soon as I said it, I was thinking of the mustache, but you're right, Sterling K. Brown's got those.
She just wanted to get an answer out first, okay? She was stressing out.
Brown knows me so well.
I do kind of look like him a little bit, don't I?
Yeah.
Say it.
Just tweet us.
Come on. Yeah, daddy.
Still ahead, we're chatting with the biggest Korean girl group, Blackpink, how they're conquering the world and what it was like working with Selena Gomez. That's next.
They are unbelievable.
They are so cute.
In just 4 years, Blackpink has smashed records and made K-pop history by becoming the biggest Korean girl group ever. I got to talk to the ladies about their new album, Working with Selena Gomez, and their highly anticipated documentary.
Can't wait to watch. How you like that? You
gonna like that? What is up, lovely ladies? Congratulations. Fans are so excited. Your debut studio album is finally coming out. It's called The Album. Tell me all about it.
Oh my God. We waited a long time for our album to come out, so we're very excited. Ice cream, chillin', ice cream, chillin'.
Tell me what it was like working with Selena.
She was such a sweet and humble person to work with, and you know, she was so supportive of us from like the first day we got on the call, and on top of that, like, she mailed the videos even though we weren't together. We can't wait to see her one day and hang out, and she said she cooked something for us, so.
Well, I love the song. So did you guys do all the meetings via FaceTime? What was it like working with her that way?
Meeting her for the first time during on a FaceTime call, was it
Yeah, it was like a Zoom call or something. That was very new to us to meet someone for the first time through screen. But, you know, she was really, really down to earth and so authentic that, you know, when we were talking to her, it just clicked straight away.
We were kind of nervous that all of our ideas got to her in the right way, but on our music video set, we got a call from her at her set. Luckily, the time was right.
Yeah.
And as soon as we saw her outfit, like her set, we're like, oh,
yeah.
Like, so beautiful.
Yeah, it turned out phenomenal. And I cannot wait for your guys' Netflix documentary. Tell me, why did you want to do this? And what will fans see?
I mean, it's our first time approaching to the fans with our unfiltered,
vulnerable selves. I feel like it was kind of perfect timing for, you know, something like this to come out because, you know, it's boring to always show them the polished, you know, versions of ourselves. And we do know they're dying to see what's going behind the scenes.
You guys have accomplished so much. You have this documentary, you have this album, you guys did Coachella, you've worked with Lady Gaga, you've worked with Selena Gomez, you've done so much. Tell me, like, what's next? What's on your bucket list?
We were actually talking about a bucket list thing today, and
it was skydiving.
And then I said, I don't want to skydive.
But what's next for Blackpink?
As a group for us,
group
skydive.
You guys, I'm so excited for your documentary. I'm so excited for your new album. Congratulations on all the success.
Oh, we're so happy.
Thank you so much.
Blackpink was nominated for 2 People's Choice Awards, so make sure you vote at E! Online. Mm-hmm. And Xfinity customers, you can vote for the movie of 2020 right from your TV. Just say vote for People's Choice Awards into your voice remote anytime to vote.
I know.
That's cool.
And vote for Just As It for Podcast of the Year.
Yes!
I am not nominated, but I'm just gonna just put it in there.
Yep, write it in. All right, up next, how a Facebook post sparked a movement to deliver over $1 million worth of groceries to people in need. Our Feel Good Friday stories are next. It's been a really crazy week, so let's treat ourselves to some Feel Good Friday stories. What do you say? Volunteers on the East Coast are working to deliver groceries to people in their community who cannot go shopping for themselves. Invisible Hands started a Facebook post, but in the last 3 months, they've organized 10,000 volunteers and delivered over $1 million worth of groceries to people in New York City, New Jersey, and Philadelphia.
Oh my God,
for them.
How amazing.
Amazing.
I love it. Okay, you know that feeling whenever you get the job and you're so happy you could dance? I love this video. Well,
so
one employer captured that dance on video. Instagram user Takara Spence said she hired this young woman and this was her response.
Right?
So cute. That's like pure joy. That is like the most, you know, innocent thing we've seen in like 3 years.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
she's just like, I'm so excited. I got to get this out. Okay.
She was like, I was only going to ask for 50,000, but since you said 70, I'm going to dab on that.
Ouch. I love it. Okay, now we have the cutest couch potato ever. This is Baby Hughes. His mom posted this montage of him flopping around.
I can't.
This happens all the time.
And
the song was John Mayer's Gravity.
It's the cutest thing in the world. It's like this baby just expects to flop around, too. Like, he likes to flop.
So cute. I remember when that happened to Zoe all the time, too. Okay, we're reading your thoughts on our story. Stephanie does not think the Demi and Max engagement was a PR stunt. She says, an error in judgment. As a result of quarantine? Likely.
Yes.
That actually makes sense.
Makes sense.
MJ agrees. She says maybe for him, but not her. Mm-hmm. And Courtney says that she would totally let her parents set her up on a date. She says, I'm 36 and single, so I'm up for just about anything these days.
Enjoy the prime of your
All
life,
right.
Courtney. I am 30 and single, and I'm enjoying this. Actually, 29.
All right. That's it for us today. We have another great show planned for you on Monday. We're getting back. Bachelorette Secrets from Chris Harrison. Plus, we have J-Lo's daughter, Emmy, here telling us about her new book, and she's spilling the tea about her mom. Have a great weekend, everyone. We will see you on Monday at 11.
Bye-bye.